here with you, 97.5. The Fanatic Josh Rabick is producing as Devon makes his way out. We are looking ahead at this game. And, I mean, probably, to be honest, looking ahead past this game, too. Which, to me, is literally the only thing to worry about when it comes to the Eagles and the way that the season's playing out. The way that they are worried about things in terms of getting the ship righted, et cetera, right? I think that it's a big, big win to come away with the victory that you did in Green Bay on Thursday Night Football. It's potentially a season-altering win. But the issue is that some of that progress can get undone in the event that you have a look-past game against the Jets because, I mean, I'm not saying that you would lose, but no one gets as excited about a big win over Green Bay if you're going to come out and lay an egg against the Jets and win 13-7, right? Like, nobody gets excited about that to begin with. Having said that, it does raise a question about whether now, with 10 days to prepare for the Jets, you're concerned about that at all. Because the look-ahead kind of situation is real. I mean, it's something that we've seen in the past that is something that would cause concern. I'm thinking about the Tennessee game last year. Like, every bad Eagles loss that they've had in the Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz era has kind of been in the same mold, where the team was taken lightly, if not by the team, then certainly by the fan base. And by the time Sunday rolls around, things start to go wrong, and then you're scrambling and trying to figure out how things are going to come together for you, and then they don't. Or at least if they do, it's too late, and you've built yourself a hole. We've seen that in the past, of course, as well. So having said that, is there any concern of that with this game? Because there isn't much to worry about with the Jets. You're facing a third-string quarterback. Their big offensive free agent, Le'Veon Bell, hasn't lit the world on fire in the time that he's been there. And, of course, defensively, they're doing what they can in terms of investing resources. But it's not something that you'd consider to be world-beating or anything like that at this point yet. Certainly not with Quinnen Williams still a rookie, C.J. Mosley, all of the first-round picks that they've spent on defensive linemen not working out. Lots of different ways to look at it and say that the Jets are not a very good team. And I'm not trying to make them better than they are. But is there any concern for a look ahead? We're going to get to that and a myriad of things. 610-632-0975. But want to get to Chris in Pensacola, who's been holding on 97.5, The Fanatic. Good evening, Chris. How are you?
What's happening, brother?
How you doing, man?
Great, man. Great. Good. FedEx came up to my house. Ding dong, ding dong. And I'm like, probably for my kid or my wife. And
uh-huh.
They're like, look, a sign. It says my name. I open up the little package and I'm screaming, what's in the box? and it's my season Sixers tickets for the fifth year straight.
Oh, nice. It wasn't even Gwyneth Paltrow's head. It was the season tickets. That's fantastic.
Oh, it came in two boxes. It chromed up my 13-year-old because she comes with me all the time. I think I told her a lot of times. And, she's like, Dad, I got three pins in it, and there's a letter to us from them. She's hanging it on the wall. They just do it right, man. I mean, you want to go down there for family atmosphere, you get an $18 ticket, or, I mean, my seats are pretty good, 104. But what can I say?
Great day. Fantastic.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, so, but, yo, listen, I'm going Monday. I'm calling up Monday after hopefully the Jaguars lose, Joe. And I'm calling up Monday, and I'm offering them two number ones. And if they don't, and if they say no, I'm going to say I'll give you Aguilar. And if they say no to that, I'll say, do you want Sidney Jones in front of that? And if they say no to that, I'm calling Denver the first minute next, and I'm getting a 2-for-1, man. I want Chris Harris, and I want Sanders, and we'll be fine. Just in case D-Jack is more hurt, because I think he is.
Me too, kind of.
So you get Sanders. I mean, he's no top 10 wide receiver. He fit in perfect here in the offense, man. He'd take D-Jack's role right there. And you get Chris Harris because they're both free agents after that year. What can they get for them, man?
Yeah, it's the truth. So if you're not able to spend the two first rounders on Jalen Ramsey, then maybe you're looking at lesser draft compensation for those two guys. Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, it way lesser. And at the end of the day, we could use both. So I'm all cool. I am so happy, Joe. I'm going to leave you tonight. I have my Sixers tickets. My kid hugged me and she was like, Dad, you got season tickets again? She's like, Mommy said they went up. I said, shh, don't tell her, man.
Mom doesn't know.
Mom don't know I own another laundromat either. But you have a good night. Peace, right. You know what I mean? I'm happy.
Take it easy, Chris. There you go, man. That's good stuff. Yeah, Sixer season right around the corner. Can't wait. Although it does remind you a little bit in terms of the expectations of the way that we were hoping or expecting, perhaps, the season tickets for the Sixers, the expectation there for the Eagles, of course, as well, where you're thinking this is going to be one of the top teams in the NFL. Can't wait for the season to get going. Same thing, of course, when it comes to the Sixers, NBA expectations. And now, of course, we're looking at it and thinking this is a start of the season that didn't work out the way that we hoped it would, at least in terms of the Eagles. And hoping that, of course, the win over Green Bay catapults you over the Jets. Not like you should need that. But then you head into kind of the meat of the schedule, the three big road games, and have those be more manageable, more palatable than when the team was sitting there at 1-2. Because at 1-2, I still remember people talking about it and saying, well, this team could slide. They could be a 9-7 team. And I thought, oh, jeez. Talking about 9-7 after all of this. And yet, when it comes down to it, they're kind of righted again. A lot of people who looked at the Eagles' season in the first 4 weeks had them at 2-2, losing to Atlanta, beating Detroit, losing to Green Bay, right? So it doesn't necessarily really matter how they got there when you do see all of the things that have happened and transpired since then. You are, as Bill Parcells once said, what your record says you are. And at this point, they're a 2-2 team. If you expected them to be 3-1 or 2-2, it'd be far be it to say that this is a disaster start to the season. What does become a disaster, though, is if you kind of stumble a little bit against the Jets. Like I said, not predicting a loss, but I don't expect a blowout. Josh, the average has been like 31-10 or something like that on the phones, like thereabout. That's what people have been saying, that area, like low to mid-30s to low teens.
Yeah, it's around 33-34-10.
34-10, right? That's pretty significant. Now, I don't know that the Jets can score to begin with, right? Let me just start out by saying that. But who have you seen the Eagles stop is the other question, right? Like, the defenses that the Jets have played have been pretty good defenses. Now, they haven't been able to score. They're on their third-string quarterback. A lot of their weapons offensively and defensively are banged up. Understand all of that completely, and no argument coming from me at all in that area. But it's not like the Eagles' defense has been great shakes either. Not when we're talking about trading for Jalen Ramsey and Chris Harris and Xavier Howard and Patrick Peterson and literally everyone that you've ever heard of in the defensive backfield trying to bring those guys in. I do feel better about the Jets game and the rest of the season moving forward. Now, I feel better than I did because of the way that the Green Bay game played out. But I still don't feel like everything is cured with this team, that everything is all good, and that they are back to the same level of expectation as we were to start the season, right? Where you're talking about them as potentially a Super Bowl favorite or one of the big-time Super Bowl contenders. I still think that they're in the conversation. Don't get me wrong. But there have been some really good performances in the NFC to start things out. Now, Dallas is one of those, but you're only a game behind the Cowboys at this point. Green Bay and Chicago each at 3-1. You just beat Green Bay, handed them their only loss. And Chicago, as far as I know, that team is a mystery. New Orleans, 3-1. How long are they going to be able to go the way that they're going without Drew Brees? San Francisco is 3-0. They are the only unbeaten team in the NFC. The Seahawks are 4-1. They just beat the Los Angeles Rams, who are 3-2. There are lots of these scenarios and lots of these areas where you're looking at it and thinking, well, it is still a wide open NFC. And there are a lot of different areas where the Eagles could improve, sure, but they're not in bad shape when you look at the entire NFC. It's still early. You play a lot of these teams. And you're not at your healthiest. You have the opportunity to get healthier over the course of the coming weeks. Does a game, a win in particular against the Jets, kind of get you back on the train? I know Devon, when we were teaming up earlier, said that they could really only hurt themselves. Which is to say that, you know, you're not going to learn anything about the Eagles by blowing out the Jets. But if you don't blow them out, then you're looking at kind of a negative step back situation. I don't know if I necessarily look at it that way. I think that I had to adjust my expectations because I expected the Eagles to be, you know, like a 12.5 win team, right? Are they going to be a 13 win team, a 12 win team, whatever? I expected them to be there. They still could be. They're only 2-2, but it would take something pretty special. They're not in the same exact tier, let's say, as like the New England Patriots, who get the benefit of the doubt forever. Just like until the end of time, or the Tom Brady era, whichever comes first. We're going to be looking at the Patriots and thinking, yeah, they're probably a team that's going to be there at the end. Every time we've tried to bury the Patriots, they've responded and just had an 11, 12, 13, 14 win season and just kind of kept it moving. I think when we heard about the new norm, we kind of expected that to be the Eagles. And so games against the Jets, you do just look past and say, yeah, I'm not learning anything about the win against the Jets. Who cares? For me, I do now. I do learn things about this. If they're going to beat the Jets and they blow out the Jets big, it's music to my ears. Why? Because you're supposed to do that. And I just don't take it for granted in the NFL anymore, and in any given Sunday league where literally anything is possible. I don't take it for granted that the Eagles, quote, do what they're supposed to do anymore. I just don't know. And it's not just the Eagles, it's anybody. We're expecting all of these things from all of these different teams, and the responses and the results have been kind of mixed at best. Take care of business against the Jets. As far as I'm concerned, that's another step towards regaining that Super Bowl swagger that the Eagles had in the preseason, in the offseason, training camp, getting ready to go on this campaign. Some of the shine might have come off it along the way, but a big win against the Jets goes a long way towards putting it back on there. 610-632-0975. Ari in Warminster is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ari?
Good evening, Joe. How are you?
Awesome. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm going to the game on Sunday, so I'm excited. I'm expecting to see a win. I definitely want to see a blowout. I would love to see the Eagles cover that big spread and make a statement against the backup terrible quarterback and a mediocre to bad team. If they do that, then I'll feel good about it. But those three road games are going to be what will sell me or not. At Minnesota, at Dallas, at Buffalo. I'm not really too concerned about the Buffalo game because it's the third of three and it's an AFC team. You know, they have a really good defense. I'm going to chalk that up to a loss. But honestly, that game at Dallas and the Minnesota game too, if they can win those two, then I'm on board for Super Bowl contender again.
So, Ari, did the game against Green Bay change your mind? Like, were you kind of down going into that game, or were you hopeful that they were going to regain their form there in Lambeau?
Well, yeah, I was hopeful. I mean, the Lions game was obviously super disappointing, but the win in Green Bay got me back like, okay, all right, so I think they're a playoff team now. but I didn't put him back into Super Bowl contention, really because of that first half against Washington, the whole Lions game, and then the Atlanta game wasn't very good either. So, right. You know, the fact that they beat Green Bay, I'm like, okay, now I see they're with all their weapons on offense, they're a playoff team. But the defense is still killer because they rely on getting pressure from that front four, and they're really not getting it. So you're exposing a pretty bad secondary, except for maybe the safeties. But I just don't see this defense being good enough to contend for a Super Bowl right now. They have to get better, and the offense has to be more consistent and, quite frankly, stay healthy.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Do you think that they need to play better? Because that's something that I'm wondering. If there's not a deal to be found, defense just needs to play better, and I don't know if that's in the cards.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I am, you know, this is a stretch, but I'm hopeful that maybe Jalen Mills and Cravon LeBlanc could help out somewhere if they get healthy. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think these corners are what we've seen. I mean, they are, and especially in this system, they're just not, they're going to give that cushion. They're going to give up a lot of third and 14s, and that's just the way it is. And if they come up with a couple goal line stands to save the game, then consider that a win. But I think this is the best bet that we're going to see from this defense, honestly.
Ari, before I let you go, real quick, your prediction for the score.
For this Sunday, I'll go 34-17.
34-17 Eagles. Ari, thanks for the phone call, man. Really appreciate it. That's closer, I would say, to where I am. Closer. I'm going to have it be, as far, I know that I'll officially give it out tomorrow, so I'll lock it in on This Week in Pro Football. I don't think the Jets are going to score fewer than 10 points. So I think that they're going to get anywhere from 14 to 17 points. And I don't think the Eagles score fewer than 20 points, right? So it's going to be anywhere from like a 6-7-8 point win to like a 3-4 point win. Basically, what I'm saying is that I'm not a big fan of the spread. I'm not a big fan of the Eagles being two touchdown favorites over anybody. Josh Rabick's mean mugging me behind the glass. What's the problem, Josh? What's the problem now? What's going on?
Well, first off, I took him at 13.5.
Oh, my.
I hopped on it, and I think it's actually a good thing because Falk didn't take many snaps with the first team this week, and that's actually another blessing in disguise as well. I mean, if Darnold was in there, I'd have a little bit more concern as far as it being a closer game. Last time we saw this dude on the field, he was stinking it up, man.
Yeah, it was really bad.
This is one of those games where the Eagles overperform against a very underwhelming offense, and then we all jump on board of, oh, we don't need to do anything about the secondary.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I hope it's like the Super Bowl year, what was it, like the Arizona game or the Denver game? You score like 8,000 points. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, they're right as rain. Although, to be fair, there wasn't a whole lot to complain about with that team to begin with. But this year, yeah, I mean, a call earlier, Chris and Pensauken talked about Emmanuel Sanders and Chris Harris. I think that the Eagles would do well to upgrade talent across the board. Not to say that they're a bad team, but if you can bring in anybody at those positions, outside of quarterback, outside of tight end, there are very few positions where you'd look at and say, all right, the Eagles are set. They don't need any help in terms of talent. Wide receiver? I don't think they're set. I think they could add talent at wide receiver. They tried to do it last year with Golden Tate. Didn't work. You know that they're up for evaluating and trying to see if fits will come together for them. Harris is an interesting guy. He's an interesting name, and certainly he's been a primetime performer for a long time in a talented Denver secondary. But I do have questions, and it does make you wonder before, and I'm not saying that he's Byron Maxwell, but we were talking about situations before when we were talking about how Byron Maxwell is the fourth out of four corners, but the rest of them are so good. Surely Byron Maxwell can help you out. It'd be very unfortunate if Chris Harris is benefiting from Aqib Talib and Bradley Roby, which is, you know, it's not really true. Talib hasn't been there the entire time. He's been in New England, and Roby has had his struggles as well. He's been benched. Chris Harris has been solid, steady, and he's been Pro Bowl, all pro situation type corner. for a significant portion of his career. I mean, he went over a calendar year or something like that without having a touchdown scored on him. He's a really good player. And certainly, depending on the cost, it helps. But I don't think that the Emmanuel Sanders half of that is to be ignored either. Because, truth be told, I'm not the biggest Emmanuel Sanders fan in the world. Health is a big-time question. The ability to get open after all of those injuries now is another question. But if you're asking me if I have more faith in him or Nelson Agholor, I have more faith in Emmanuel Sanders at this point, based on their careers. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Joe Torti taking you up until midnight. Josh Rabick is producing. We'll be right back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic. It's the return of the Joe Torti show. Strange to be here and not to look across and see D-Lineham or Devon Gibbons especially. But you know what it means. Basketball and hockey season are back, baby. This is it. And the Phillies? Well, we don't talk about the Phillies. Even though we didn't get to talk about it, Phillies making coaching changes. Not, of course, the coaching changes that people would want to talk about in terms of the manager. But some changes coming anyway. As Young is out as the pitching coach. Chris Young will not return as the pitching coach. He may return in some other function, which I thought was so strange. I thought, like, if you're going to fire a guy, then go ahead and fire him. Not like a first-year coach. Be like, ah, yeah, you're not ready for this pitching coach stuff, but maybe, you know, throwing bullpen and, you know, handling the equipment and stuff like that, maybe you'll be able to handle that. Very strange, very strange. With the Eagles in particular, not necessarily with regard to the Jets. The big question has continued to be the injuries at corner. And Doug Peterson, addressing the media a couple of days ago, talked about how you kind of piece things together when your defensive backfield's banged up.
And now Sydney's injury and, you know, Jalen's working himself. Cravon is there. I mean, you know, we got some guys that hopefully here in the near future we get back, but we make it work. That's just you're dealt a 53-man roster and some, you know, 10 practice squad guys. And Howie does a great job of bringing in talent that we might have to elevate. So, you know, it's something we're working through.
And listening to Doug there, when I first heard it, I thought Doug doesn't believe that there's a move on the horizon, right? Because he kind of slipped in Howie at the last second saying Howie might be able to upgrade. And I also understand that that's kind of beyond Doug's purview, right? It's the players that he has. He's trying to get those guys ready to play and to get the most out of those guys that he possibly can while trying to win these football games. So I get that it's not on him to talk about personnel matters and be like, yo, Howie, we got to make something happen, man.
I'm happy to take responsibility for all of that.
Yeah, I figured. You're going to have to now because Joe Douglas isn't here. There's no one else that you're going to be able to point the finger at and say, oh, well, you know, it's a collaborative effort. It doesn't sound to me as though Doug believes that reinforcements are coming in anytime soon, which is no real surprise considering the fact that a lot of the trades and acquisitions that Howie Roseman has made over the course of the last 5 years have kind of been big surprises, have kind of come out of nowhere where there haven't been any rumblings or whisperings. That's why I've been kind of slow on the Jalen Ramsey stuff. It just seems, to me, it seems like it'd be much more in character for Howie Roseman to trade for Patrick Peterson for no other reason than because we haven't heard anything about the Eagles and Patrick Peterson. Like, it just, it seems like that's the way that they have operated in the past and that Howie in particular prefers to do business. Now, the other thing that kind of, throws a wrench into things is, despite the drafting record and despite the relative lack of success that the Eagles have had in selecting players, Tim McManus came on during his midweek report and explained that the asking price for players of those natures is something that the Eagles aren't too keen to surrender right now.
The sense that I get is, while they're in on it, I don't know that they would be as comfortable as some other teams around the league about sort of opening up the draft pick vault and handing it all over to Jacksonville.
And that, of course, is with respect to Jalen Ramsey in particular. But you would think that it would also lay out for every other one of the quote-unquote prime corners, the young guys or who are on reasonable contracts or the top corners in the league, etc. You would think that that is kind of par for the course. It's not just about giving it up to Jacksonville. It's about giving it up to some of these other teams as well in order to land these guys. Once again, from Tim McManus, that doesn't seem like something the Eagles are keen on doing. But there's the other issue that you have to kind of juggle on the other side that Tim McManus also got into, with DeSean Jackson not being available. Now, Emmanuel Sanders has been mentioned as well, but there are some other corners. Clearly, Stephon Diggs is somebody that if you're learning that he's available, you have to do your due diligence, but doesn't seem like it's a realistic option. You have to kind of look at everything with DeSean Jackson not being here.
What I was told was that he was going to give it a shot after 2 weeks to play. But when I checked in on it this week, I was not getting a whole lot of optimism that he was going to be ready for the Jets game.
And, of course, that's confirmed when he's ruled out of the game today. So, no big mystery that DeSean Jackson's not back. Now, people have been calling, and I shy away from the term conspiracy because I do think that oftentimes the word conspiracy has an overly negative connotation when it comes to people thinking that there's just something else going on behind the scenes. And are you a conspiracy theorist if you're right? Like, I think inherently, if you're a conspiracy theorist, the assumption is that you're wrong all the time. But I don't know if you thought that, whatever, that Darren Sproles was never going to play last year, like some people did, and he ends up being week to week for the entire season and never reappears. Is that a conspiracy, or did you just think that something else was up? If, for example, Jalen Mills injures himself like just about a year ago and is still, from what we see, not closer to returning, he's not out there, he's not 100% ready to go yet, are you a conspiracy theorist by saying, wow, something's really up with Jalen Mills, or are you right? Like, I do think that there's something to the people who talk about the DeSean Jackson injury with a level of concern beyond just the standard, this is an important guy in our offense and he's not in. DeSean Jackson has been an injured player over the course of his entire career. Not to say that he's damaged goods or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he has been a guy who's missed games over the course of his career. He's been a gamer and tried to play through, but it's a pretty rare occurrence for him to play all 16. And certainly that's out the window this year. But you're well within your rights to wonder about whether he'll be available sooner rather than later. And people talking about getting him ready for the playoffs, are the Eagles in playoff position by the time that he gets back because of the role that he was asked to play on the offense? And we saw what the offense looked like last year without a deep threat for an extended period of time, and it really did not look good. And of course, that all matters because we asked in the preseason and the training camp and looking ahead, we expected the offense to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting because the defense just wasn't talented enough. Now you have a completely different question. Is an offense that's banged up already able to also pick up the slack for a banged up defense? Carson Wentz answering that question.
Yeah, we don't really, you know, worry about that. As an offense, you know, we trust that the defense is going to take care of their business, and you know, they trust that we're going to do the same. So for us, it's, you know, we want to score on every possession. You know, we want to end every possession in the end zone. That's obviously our goal, and so we're going to go forth no matter who we're playing, no matter who the offense is on the other side, you know, with that expectation in mind.
Except in the first quarter. We don't even worry about it in the first quarter because we just know that's not going to happen. It's interesting, though, because Carson's a machine, very rarely gives you anything useful or interesting in terms of information. He's very good at talking to the media and pretty much saying nothing. But on the flip side, you do have to wonder, yeah, the defense wasn't all that good when they were healthy. And now at this point, they're banged up. I look at it the other way, to be honest with you. I don't look at it as they're injured now, so they have to make a move now. I look at it instead the way that I kind of represented it with Devon, which is to say, they were all banged up to begin with in terms of talent. Now that they're all banged up health-wise, you know, with all due respect to these guys, you know, what's the difference? If you were going to get toasted on double moves before, or you were going to get out-personnelled on the outside, right? Like, at full strength, 100% capacity, I am fully confident in saying that there is nothing that they were going to do against Devontae Adams. And no matter who was out there, if it was Jalen Mills, if it was Ronald Darby, if it was Cravon LeBlanc, Avante Maddox, whoever it was, you were not stopping Devontae Adams the way that he and Aaron Rodgers were connecting on that day. It sounds harsh, but if you want the trade now and you didn't before the injuries, I don't understand. Because from a talent perspective, you'd expect the team to try to be upgrading. When they're injured, yes, it stinks, and you've got depth questions, and you've got special teamers having to take defensive snaps, and a lot of other things that kind of go into life as a banged up team. But just from a ones and twos perspective, from a talent perspective, I don't know if this team was ever good enough to be keeping up with those big dogs in terms of the wide receivers that are on the outside. If that's the case, then they should have been looking to make this move beforehand. And the injury doesn't necessarily facilitate it, but it does make you look more desperate and allows teams to drive up the price on you a little bit. Your phone number to join the conversation, 610-632-0975. Concern about the corners, concern about the New York Jets, concern about anything really heading into this. And of course, we've got to get into the Phillies as well, because the will they, won't they question will bleed over into next week. Which, of course, brings us neatly into the start of Sixers season. And the Flyers got their season off on the right foot as well this afternoon. So much to talk about in the Philly sports scene. Yes, indeed. And overseas, too. It's a beautiful thing in Prague. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. 97.5 The Fanatic is celebrating our 10th anniversary next Thursday, 10-10. To celebrate, we're bringing back the Fanatic All-Star Day. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., you'll be able to hear all of our hosts in different time slots, including their own. So you'll be able to hear Mike Miss on The Morning Show, Anthony and Jason with Mike Miss, as well as The Morning Show on TV with Mike Miss. Our All-Star Day schedule of hosts and times will be posted on our website soon. It's a fun day to celebrate 10 great years and to thank all of our listeners. So, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Make sure you check that out on 97.5thefanatic.com. 610-632-0975. It is Joe Torty. The Joe Torty Show rolls on until midnight right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Strange times that we live in, Josh Rabick. Strange times. As I casually flip on the television and I see the defending champs going down again. The national champion, UCF. Oh, wait a minute. They lost to Pitt this year and they're getting spanked by Cincinnati? Oh. All right. Sorry, is that fair? It's probably not fair. I like UCF as much as anybody else, but like the "we're the national champions" thing just rubbed me so the wrong way.
They became my heroes when they did that. Like, we didn't play in the national championship game. You know what? Screw it. We're national champions.
That's it. We got the bye in the championship game. We don't even need to worry about it. We got the bye. Man, oh man, dude. Yeah, they're still time. They're probably going to come back and beat Cincinnati because they're much better than Cincinnati. But right now, down by 11. They already lost to a pretty bad Pitt Panthers team. So based on what we just heard from the Eagles and from Doug Peterson in particular, it seems as though what I was talking about before with Ari, when Ari called in talking about you need to have the defense playing better, you need to get a better performance from the defense, two ways that happens, right? You change the people performing or you change the performance itself. So the other thing is that when you look at it, this is a team that has not usually thrived when they've had an elite level defense. Now, I don't know enough about Jim Schwartz's history. I know that there were no shutdown corners in Detroit. I'm trying to think about whether there was somebody that you would qualify as that during his year with Buffalo, because that entire Buffalo defense was pretty good. I don't think there was a corner that you'd consider to be a really good corner in that Jim Schwartz defense. It was all about that front seven that he had. The Kyle Williams, Mario Williams situation that was going on up there. So I don't know if it's a priority. And callers have called in, and maybe rightly so, said that it doesn't matter who you have at corner as long as you have Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator. But here's a question that I have, and I'll put it to Josh, and I'll put it for you, 610-632-0975. What, realistically, would you want Jim Schwartz to do this season that he hasn't done yet this season? Right? People were talking about Jim Schwartz blitzing and how he never blitzes. Then he blitzes. It works until it doesn't. He gets burned, and then it's like, oh, you can't blitz that much. Asking him to play off, asking him to play bump and run. All kinds of different things, right? I feel as though, and it's a weird spot for me to have because I'm not the world's biggest Jim Schwartz fan, just like from a baseline level in terms of being an excellent defensive coordinator. I don't know anything about him as a guy beyond his press conferences, but he just doesn't strike me as this overwhelming, jaw-dropping defensive coordinator where all of your problems are solved as soon as you hire this guy. And I do think that there are some of those guys out there, by the way. But I don't know what he was supposed to do. Like, I just don't know this season with the talent that you have, when we're talking about all of the injuries, when you're talking about all of the pieces that the Eagles are missing, what you want the guy to do. Let me see this 2014 Buffalo Bills roster, because that'll tell me if there are corners of note on this roster. Leotis McKelvin. Not what you'd call a shutdown guy. Pretty good player. Let's see. Who led the team in interceptions? It was McKelvin. Oh, Stephon Gilmore. Yeah, but that's before Stephon Gilmore was Stephon Gilmore. I'm right or wrong? Like, Stephon Gilmore now is way different than Stephon Gilmore in 2014. When Stephon Gilmore was in 2014... he started all 14 games for Buffalo as a 24-year-old. It was his third season in the league. But I don't know that you'd call him, you know, what he's become in New England, and certainly what he became in his final couple of seasons at Buffalo. So, no. I would say that while there were probably better corners than are here in Philadelphia, I'm willing to concede that, where you've got Ron Brooks was a slot corner. You've got Stephon Gilmore. And, of course, we mentioned the other guy, Leotis McKelvin. Aaron Williams, I think, was a rookie or a second-year player there. Who else was there? There's one more corner that I saw of note. Oh, Nickell Robey Coleman. Like, so there were some pieces there that are probably better than what you have here in Philadelphia, but not what you'd consider outrageous, insane tools. Like I would consider Jalen Ramsey, like I would consider Patrick Peterson, like I would consider a lot of these guys, Xavier Howard. You're not quite in that realm where you're bringing up those guys in this defense. It does make you wonder if it's necessary. And if Jim Schwartz, if they weigh in, Jim Schwartz probably says, yeah, I'll welcome whatever tools and toys you want to give me, but I believe that we have the tools here to get things done, especially in the defensive backfield. Then it makes you wonder if that's true, if that's a question of evaluation, if it's a question of, you know, overconfidence. John L. tweets, and you might not remember, I do actually, but I tweeted I wanted Ramsey last season, or I thought maybe trade Foles for him, but I forgot about the contract situation. That would have been perfect. Also, I don't know about conspiracies, but Jalen Mills can't cover. He bites on every double move. He wasn't fast to begin with, so how fast is he not going to be now? I like the kid. He hits. He has confidence. He's just not that good. That is dangerous, right? I play men's league hockey. Never going to single out an individual. So let's just say that there are some people in men's league hockey league, not on my team, of course, but just, you know, out there who do have confidence and do not have skill. Those are the guys most interesting to play against for a lot of different reasons. So with that being said, it does make you wonder how he fits. Does the move to safety finally happen? Is it something where he exclusively becomes a slot corner? Because that's what people talk about. Oh, you know, you just move him inside, bump him inside. I think that the times have changed of the slot corner and the slot receiver. It's not the third best receiver on the team anymore. It's a guy who is quick, twitchy, change of direction, that sort of thing. And I don't know about you, but if you ask me, based on the way that the season's gone for Jalen Mills, last year and the way that his career has kind of gone, I don't think that quick and twitchy and change of direction are the kind of guys that I want Jalen Mills going against to begin with. You got to find out some kind of other solution. And then, of course, the other one, Craven LeBlanc, is one that I'm interested in seeing how he's integrated, because the reports that I was reading were that he was going to be in the mix for the starting outside corner job. Like that if he was on the team, he was a starting outside corner. And of course, they gave him the deal with the injury, the multi-year deal with the injury. So that kind of tells you how they feel about him and his prospects of being a guy that you can count on moving forward. And he's kind of the forgotten man when it comes to the injury progression. And when is this guy coming back? When's that guy coming back? Very rarely do we mention or consider Craven LeBlanc. Maybe we should. 610-632-0975. Final hour is coming your way next is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.